Hello, and welcome back to Voices of Chandler, the podcast. I'm your host, Melina Zuniga, and it's been a minute since we've caught up, but don't worry. For the next several months, you'll be hearing from some downtown Chandler businesses on their entrepreneurial roots, an internal speaker series that happened here at the City of Chandler through our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Division that we'll be bringing to you for the first time, and, well, you know what's around the corner. The summer heat and all of its scorching glory. Our friends Tiffany and Emily over in Water Conservation talked to Noelle Johnson, also known as the AZ Plant Lady. If you haven't heard of Noelle or aren't one of her 11,000 Instagram followers, you wouldn't know that she helps people create and maintain beautiful landscapes here in the desert. Let's step into this month's H2O.
What got you involved with desert landscaping?
I am not a native to Arizona. I came here 37 years ago when I got married from Southern California. And we bought a house. I was very excited. We bought a house in Central Phoenix, and I was very excited to plant things. I wanted a pretty garden with flowers. And the reason I got into becoming a horticulturist was because I killed lots of things in my garden. Everything I tried to plant died. And it was because I planted the wrong thing. And there weren't really resources available back then to look into to help me make wise choices. So I did some research. I would drive to downtown Phoenix to go to the big library. And there was maybe one or two books on desert gardening. And I learned what I could there and realized that the regular rules that the rest of the country uses for gardening don't necessarily apply here. And what was also sad was traditional garden media, when it comes to gardening shows or books or magazines, they kind of skip us over. So I decided to go back to school, and I went to ASU, and I got my degree in horticulture and set out to work at a golf course, because at that time, that was the only place that was hiring horticulturists. I mean, this is Arizona, right? So I worked as a horticulturist for golf courses for several years, and that was like having this playground. I was in charge of everything but the grass. I had a crew, and I had a small budget, but I had enough of a budget to have a lot of fun with, and it was a wonderful learning experience. And later, I became a landscape designer. And then the recession hit, and having a horticulturist on staff or being a landscape designer didn't go very well. But I knew people still needed and wanted help, because there was such a lack of information. This was back in the 2000s. I started a blog because that's what everybody was doing, right? And I said, I'm just going to help people, and I'll just teach them what I know. And I started that, and that's the birth of AZ Plant Lady back in 2009. And magazines would contact me because they wanted regional content from the Southwest. And there weren't that many people doing it. So I started writing for national magazines. I was writing for Home Depot. I was their Southwest representative. And I didn't look for these opportunities. They just kind of came to me because there was such a lack of information and people really needed help.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to just not being native to Arizona, coming from other states, California, Illinois, Oregon, Washington, and they just have such different plants there and different plant needs. So then they come here, and our soil type also is very different. So there's just so much to know. It can get really complicated, but it's just always nice to have someone like you out there to get the information out and just really help people as much as we can, and the plants. So you do some landscape consultations now?
I started out, soon people would contact me, Noelle, I need help with my yard. Can I hire you to come over? And these were usually people who live next to the golf courses, so that's how it started a long time ago. Since then, yes, I do consultations for homeowners. And a lot of my clients are new to the desert and completely overwhelmed. Or there are people who've lived here for a while and they're just tired of what they have. They want something new. And it's so much fun because it's talking to them about how to maintain their plants the right way. Sadly, we do too much to our plants. We prune them too much. We water them too much. Plants don't like it. They don't do well. And we make more work for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Or we're wasting money on a landscaper when we don't need them as often as we
exactly,
think we do.
Yes.
And so it's teaching them how to care for what they have, identifying what existing plants they have, which are good and still add value to the property, and then discussing possible replacements, you know, plants that are struggling, what would be a better type of plant to add in the area. And then providing them with pruning and watering guidelines. I love it when people come to me ahead of time when they're considering doing something to their yard and talking about smart choices, or they will submit their design plans to me. Say, Noelle, what do you think about this? Because another tendency when you're paying to have someone install your yard is they will overplant things because they want that instant, oh, yeah, that looks great. But they don't pay attention mm-hmm. to how big these plants are going to get right. in the future. So they're wasting water because they have too many plants, and they're wasting money in buying more plants than they need. And at the end, you have something that they're not really happy with. So as a consultant, I get to do a lot of really fun things to develop some fun relationships. And most recently, I'm consulting with a lot of HOAs that are wanting to get rid of the grass areas or minimize grass areas in the common areas around the subdivisions, and how, you know, you can still have a really beautiful, very attractive outdoor space that adds to property value, but not with a thirsty lawn.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like not everyone realizes that we do have a lot of options, mm-hmm. a lot of desert low water use plant options that flower and bring a lot of color to
and
the landscape.
And they could be lush green. You just yeah. plant yeah, them in groups.
Let
them grow. You do not have to have these big empty spaces in between plants, people. Mm-hmm. It's okay for plants to touch each other. Mm-hmm. You don't want them to crowd each other, but it's okay if they touch. They don't have cooties. And you can create a really beautiful, especially if you have a non-functional lawn that's just there for decoration, mm-hmm. you can create beautiful, lush, green ground covers that you don't have to overseed in the winter to keep that green color. You don't have to mow it, you know, every 10 or 14 days, mm-hmm. and they take a lot less water.
Yes, definitely. I just think it's a great alternative too, especially like you said, the non-functional areas of grass where people aren't using it, they're not playing on it, they're not having a picnic.
Nothing.
You know, what's the
it's
point?
A waste of water.
It is.
So tell us more. What has your experience been lately with how hot it's been this summer?
You know, we had summer of 2020, which broke records, and we just tended to add that on the list of other bad things that happened in 2020. You know, just throw it all in that year and skip, you know, just pretend that year didn't happen. And then we had two relatively normal, mild summers. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of rain and temperatures mm-hmm. didn't go too crazy.
Right.
I had a feeling, though, it might come back. And oh my goodness, didn't it? This summer was worse.
Yeah, came back with a vengeance.
It was mm-hmm. worse. Plants are showing even more damage. And most of the temperatures, most of it was July. What that leads to conclude with is that these extra hot summers aren't an anomaly. They're going to keep happening. It may mm-hmm. not happen next year. I hope not. But it is part of the future. And we need to plan for that and have more resilient gardens. And people have been reaching out to me being completely overwhelmed because things are dying left and right. And plants that normally do just fine in the summer with no problems, and even some native plants are struggling. So I've been doing a lot of outreach and a lot of outreach in helping people learn how to heat proof their gardens. And one of the first tips I have, and this is something that should be done right now when it's still pretty hot, is observe what's doing well. Observe what's doing well in your garden. Then when you drive through your neighborhood, observe what plants are doing well in your neighbor's yard. Take a picture of the plant. If you don't know what it is, take a picture. You can take it to your local nursery. They can help you identify it. Also, if you're sitting in traffic at a traffic light, look around at the plants. Which ones are doing pretty good? Also, you can note which ones look to be struggling, because mm-hmm. those are ones that we're probably not going to want to have in our garden.
If you think about it, plants that are planted in medians are resilient. Direct sunlight, heat reflected from the black asphalt right next to carbon emissions released from our cars. I'll take 20 cactuses, please. No, but that's a great tip. If you were wondering what would be the best time to actually shop and plant those for your home garden.
Typically, anytime from September through March, it's a great time to add plants. Fall's best because it gives our plants 3 full seasons, 9 months, to establish a really good root system and kind of get them ready for the next summer. Mm-hmm. And so doing these observations right now are important because there are likely plants in your landscape that maybe died or have struggled so much this summer that they just need to go.
That's great advice. Yeah, I really like that. And it's just, there's just so much to consider. So maybe the same plant in different locations, maybe yes. It does well in under a shady tree, but then you see it up against a hot wall and it's not doing too well.
And people are saying, you know, what do we do in the future? Let's say hotter summers off and on are in our future. And the most important thing we could do is add more shade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're going to do that with trees. And that we are going to see that happening throughout Chandler and throughout the valley. We are going to see cities planting more trees. Homeowners, they're going to be encouraged to plant more trees as well. And you may be thinking, well, I have a really big tree in my front yard. I don't have room for another big tree. But you know what? There are smaller trees that you can add in the smaller areas of your outdoor space that can really add wonderful shade in those still really bright, sunny places. So there are small trees available. We have wonderful local nurseries that you can, you know, go and visit and look at the tree size. I will tell you that I have 3 very large Palo Verde trees. And I have a big yard because I like plants. I don't have a pool. I just have plants. And I have several areas in my yard that get a lot of unrelenting sun, and I am adding 4 new trees this fall. They're smaller trees, desert willow, that's like my favorite tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Beautiful and green and lovely flowers through the summer. Heat does not bother them whatsoever, and this is a good time to do it because trees do take some time to grow.
Yes.
And you don't have to buy a big tree. You can start out with a 15-gallon if you want. You don't have to go with a big box tree if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. But a modest investment in a 15-gallon tree now gives it time to really start growing so that when we do have another hot summer, and let's hope it's not next year, but when it does come, you're going to have more shade. And shade is key because you'll note if you have the exact same kind of plant in your landscape, you've got one in full sun and you have one in the shade. The one in the shade probably did just fine.
Yeah, definitely. It's just very important to pick the right plant for the right place and consider how large the canopy is going to get at full maturity. Mm-hmm. Some trees grow really tall and slim, where some grow outwards and get very large.
Yeah.
So just something to consider when
you're choosing. And I would say go to a local nursery.
Yes.
Your local nursery professional is going to be very helpful with that because explain to them the amount of space you have so they can help you with that decision. As helpful as the garden personnel are at big box stores, and they are so helpful, I have been in there countless times where I have heard incorrect information being given out.
Yeah.
So the level of expertise when it comes to helping you choose the right plants isn't necessarily, that's not the place I would go. And I also know that, the folks at Water Use It Wisely and AMWA, there's wonderful online resources for trees, along with sizes and things like that to help you in your choices.
Yes, definitely. That's a great recommendation. So I'm curious, what are some common mistakes that you see in other people's landscapes? I'm sure there's a lot, but just like common.
Where do I start? I'll just start with the number one first mistake, and the heat made it worse, is our excessively pruning of flowering shrubs.
Mm.
Yeah. This is the number one mistake. And it's sad because, first of all, it strips these shrubs of their beautiful natural shape. And it relegates them to a ball, a square, a loaf of bread, a cupcake, a gumdrop. I mean, whatever. It's unnatural and they're ugly. And it really takes away from the curb appeal of your property. It also strips them of the ability to produce many of the flowers and the color that they add. It doesn't do you any favors to the landscape. It also, that excessive pruning, it's very stressful for the plant because anytime you prune, it stimulates the plant to produce more leaves. Plants need leaves to make food and energy for themselves. They need leaves to survive. And if you are pruning them frequently during the year, you're removing that food source for them. So they're constantly trying to grow it back. And that makes your plants grow faster. It creates more work for you. And it also creates this vicious cycle, because as soon as they're growing some new leaves to make food for themselves, they're getting pruned away. Shrubs that are pruned like that don't live very long compared to ones that are pruned maybe once, maybe at the most twice a year. And they use more water because they're constantly trying to grow back.
Yes.
Sadly, this is the default maintenance practice here.
So frustrating.
It is. And we don't have a gardener culture here, whereas in other regions, you may think, people might say, well, my gardener knows how to take care of it. He'll know the right thing for the plant.
Right.
And
we
don't have that there. And I want to make clear that the landscape workers we do have, they work very hard and they're proud of their work.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going out of their way to do things injurious to plants. In a lot of cases, homeowners want it that way. But there's also a large number of people who don't know that that's the wrong way to take care of their plants. So we can do a lot of things by pruning plants correctly, which is usually we're going to do most of our pruning in the spring, and allowing plants enough room to grow so you don't have to keep pruning them. And I'd say the number two is watering too frequently. That's a huge one. I'd say 90% of my clients, their landscapes are getting watered too often and not deeply enough.
Right.
Some plants do not do very well. And so we want to space out our irrigation and water deeply to an appropriate depth. Water Use It Wisely has all the amazing, wonderful water tools for you. That's like, to me, the irrigation Bible.
It really has been
created by experts. Educate yourselves, because we cannot take for granted that we have this never-ending water supply. Our water resources are shrinking. Now, the good news is you can have an absolutely beautiful landscape. We have so many lower water use plants that you would have no idea they were lower water use, because they're beautiful. But we need to make sure that we are using water as efficiently as possible.
Yes, I can completely agree. And like you said, it's just a lot of getting the awareness out there, the education out there, getting the resources. And you do help a lot with that.
Mm-hmm.
You have your blog, you have your presentations that you do throughout the valley. And then you also are an author.
I am. I wasn't going to write a book. People kept asking me, Noelle, you need to write a book. And I said, I'm so busy. So busy helping other people. But a publisher actually reached out to me. And they said, Noelle, we would really like you to write a book because we know there's a lack of resources in this area. And I said, okay.
Noelle's book is called Dry Climate Gardening, Growing Beautiful, Sustainable Gardens in Low Water Conditions. If you ever had any questions on how to create a living desert landscape, this is the book for you.
It was really fun to write, talking about how dry climates are different and how we need to approach things differently. How plant choice is very important, and our irrigation practices. And so it's been a really wonderful experience to hear back from people who've read the book, from a beginner to people who've been here for years or natives. I've even had people who are moving to the desert, but they haven't gotten here yet, and they're already planning, and they're already reading the book. And
that's awesome.
Having fun with that. And I'm also in the middle of writing a second book right now, because the first book did so well, they were actually really surprised. And I said, you know, I wasn't surprised, because people really need information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they want to know how to do things the right way.
So you kind of mentioned that the book can be for beginners as far as natives. So would you say that this is a good, you know, welcome to the desert?
Here's your book. And that's what I wanted it to be. And so it covers all the topics that you need to know. I love to take the mystery out of gardening and break it down into simple steps.
Also wanted to ask, with this book and the next book, any big difficulties or roadblocks that you found, you know, being a new author or the topics or anything like that?
The first book was very easy because I was writing from my experience. And I know my audience, and I know exactly the challenges. And that's what the book was so, in some ways it was easy for me, because I know what the challenges are, because I deal with them every day when I'm working with people to help them.
Right.
And I think that's why it was so well received, mm-hmm. because they said, oh my gosh, you know exactly what my problem is, and okay, this is how I fix it. Like caliche, well, all right, this is what you do. Chandler does not have a lot of caliche, thank goodness. But there are areas of the valley and other parts of the desert where that's a fact. And so it was fun in the book to bring up a few things that are definitely more of a desert thing. The new book is a little more challenging because I'm not just talking to audiences who live in dry climates. I'm talking mm-hmm. to audiences who live elsewhere. But what's really been fun about the book is all the practices that I'm talking about are applicable whether you live in the desert or in other more temperate regions. And we're going to get a lot into rainwater harvesting
and
also how to grow vegetables without wasting water.
Yes.
And that's so it. We're getting into a whole lot of other things, which is really fun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so exciting.
And then where can, you know, everyone find this lovely book?
Anywhere you buy books. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It is at Changing Hands, which I know is our independent mm-hmm. bookstore. It is there. You could buy it online at Target.
Well, we just appreciate you coming in today, Noelle, talking with us. For those of you who don't know, Noelle also presents for a lot of our workshop classes. We offer them in the spring and
that
fall.
That are free.
We have subjects such as like cacti and succulents. We do heat-proof gardening. I would love to do one on landscape colors and just brightening
I've got a whole one on color gardens.
Yes, yes. I'd love to have that in the spring.
Oh, that would be a fun one. I love color. I love flowers.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, so do I. Awesome. And then just like I said again, if you guys need any resources from water conservation, your local municipality would be happy to help you out with that. If you're a Chandler resident, then just feel free to reach out to us directly. You can also go on our website, chandleraz.gov/water. But yes, thank you again, Noelle, for coming in today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I feel like I've learned so much. And just, again, just bringing the awareness out to the public is so important. So just one step at a time.
It is. It's just educating and helping.
I don't know about you, but I love today's episode. I learned something new and I hope that you did too. If you want to learn more, like Tiffany said, you can always reach out to our team by visiting chandleraz.gov/water or calling a staff member at 480-782-3580. And if you want to tap in with Noelle, you can visit azplantlady.com, where you can also find her socials, sign up for her newsletter, and find a bunch of gardening content. Thank you so much for tapping in with us today. We took an almost year hiatus, and if you've been listening since the beginning of this podcast, we started off with contributors from different city departments doing segments. A lot of our contributors have either left the city, shifted departments, or have just gotten busy with their day-to-day responsibilities and their roles. With that, I have to say that the Voices of Chandler podcast has a limited number of episodes left. We will be shifting all of our content to our sister podcast, Directly from the Source, with Matt Burdick, Communications Director for the City of Chandler. But I promise you'll still get amazing stories from the Voices of Chandler, like today. We'll see you next time.